Tonight in the Dalton Center Recital Hall, the Bullock Performance Institute will present Tri-Fi, a jazz trio featuring Matthew Friess on piano, Phil Palombi on bass, and Western Zone Keith Hall on drums. Coming up this hour, Matthew, Phil, and Keith are my guests. We'll be talking about the trio's brand new release, Staring Into the Sun, which is available right now at tri-fi.com. Downbeat Magazine called it a relaxed yet fervent approach to express joy, wonder, surprise. I'll start with you, Keith. How is it having your bandmates in town from New York and celebrating 10 years together?
Yeah, it's really great to have the guys in town. Anytime that they come through the area, I'd love to share them with everybody here. You know, they bring so much.
And you're celebrating this new release tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. So we'll hear some live music, but people can also walk away with a new disc.
That's right. Yeah, they can purchase the new disc and then some other titles as well, because we have 5 CDs. So,
well, take me back to the honeymoon period, the early days.
Oh.
And guys, Phil and Matthew can jump in at any time as well.
Well, we met in New York City. Matthew moved to New York in 94. I moved in 96. Phil moved just after that in 97. And I met both of them and was playing with each of them in different situations. And Matthew and I became part of the rhythm section for Curtis Stigers. And in 2002, and we had a bass player with us for a while, and then that didn't work out. So we needed a new bass player. And so we were thinking of who we'd like to have on the road with us, because it's not just, you know, a great player that you want to have on the road with you, but it needs to be someone that you'd like to hang out with for the other 20 hours of the day, basically, because there's a lot of travel and rehearsals and things. So we really loved Phil's playing and we liked him as a person. And so we both put his name in the hat, and it's a big love fest here in WMUK, yeah. So that's how we got together, and we were Curtis's rhythm section for a few years, and we decided shortly into it that we're playing a lot together. You know, we were on the road all the time, and we really had this connection, so we thought we should really do our own thing on the side and write some music together and just see what happens, and 10 years ago.
So you're following in a tradition of jazz trios writing their own music. Any particular trios in the past that were inspirational?
Sure. So many of them. There's Oscar Peterson and Keith Jarrett and Herbie Hancock and Ahmad Jamal. How could I? That should have been first. Ahmad Jamal.
Chick Corea.
There's so many great trios that we all love. Did I miss anybody? Bill Evans.
Yeah.
How did I forget that one?
Why isn't this called the Matthew Friess trio?
I know that tends to be the trend in jazz. Is it's, you know, it really is about individuals, and I think that's kind of what makes what we're doing kind of special. You know, for us, that it really is a cooperative trio. We all write for the trio. We all contribute ideas. We all, you know, drive the bus. We all pay the bills, make the phone calls, and so it's, you know, it. We ended up, you know, with a band name. So it's a bit of a different way of doing a jazz group. Yeah.
Matthew, what is your background? Can we go even further back to your introduction to jazz and how you followed that pursuit?
I grew up in a musical home. My dad was a piano professor, classical piano professor, and my mother was a vocal teacher and a choir director. So we had music around the home, and I learned to play, you know, the classical piano stuff. And my dad also moonlighted as a cocktail pianist, playing for weddings, you know, playing the schmaltzy hits that everyone's grandmother still loves. And so I learned, you know, believe it or not, from that I learned a lot about harmony and, you know, playing chord changes. And when I got to college, someone in a jazz appreciation class basically put on some jazz records and kind of explained what was going on, you know, what the roles of the instruments were, how the people were interacting, and really got you to listen a little more actively instead of just having it on the background while you're doing your workout or something, you know, just really focus on, you know, what is this instrument doing at this time? How does it affect this instrument? Because it really is a musical conversation. And once I got that, it was like somebody opened Pandora's box, and I was just in love with everything about the music everything about the, you know, the way people interacted and the creativity and that. And it, from that moment, it was just, you know, that was what I had to do.
You live in New York now, but I always picture jazz musicians somehow moving from somewhere else, like the Midwest, to New York. And so I was wondering where this home was, where you were.
I grew up in central Pennsylvania, so it's, you know, it's.
You are.
We consider ourselves Northeast, you know, in the Northeast, but we're really more Midwest, I think, in the way we are. It was, you know, very small country town, not much happening at all. Just a little university town, but that was it. So.
I think that's pretty cool that your dad kind of put a premium or some focus on spontaneous music making and being able to entertain in the moment rather than this serious, pure classical thing. Otherwise, you might not have got the...
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely, you know, he did teach me like the blues scale when I was little. And so, you know, it was kind of like the party trick when we'd go out to, if we were, you know, if I was somewhere where he was doing a concert or something and there were people around afterwards, he would kind of play like a little bass line part and I would just kind of make up stuff over the blues scale. And that was kind of, you know, as a little 7 or 8 year old kid, that was kind of a little party trick for all the other parents. And so, yeah, that part of it started at an early age.
Phil, your turn. Did you also come from a musical family?
Yes, my dad was a part-time guitar player. My mom played the stereo. But music was always on in the house. And, you know, my dad had a great record collection from everything from Booker T and the MGs to Parliament. And but, you know, he was a guitar player that played that type of music out, you know, after work occasionally. Up until I was about 5, then he had to pull back because things just got too busy. But I would play... He would be in the spare bedroom practicing every once in a while. You know, I'd hear him playing guitar. And so probably when I was 8 or something, I would go in and stand there and stare at him. And we didn't have enough money for another guitar, but he happened to have an old Fender bass in a closet that he picked up somewhere along the line just because it was cheap. And you know, he said, "Oh, here, put this. You only have to put it in my hands." I said, "You only have to play one note at a time." And at that point, I think I had some organ lessons because he played organ a little bit too. So we had an organ in the house. And I would, you know, so I learned how to read music and that. But I don't know, it was about 8 or 9. He put a bass in my hands, and I was like, "Oh." And he would, like, we'd play, you know, old rock tunes, you know, House of the Rising Sun. And he'd, "Okay, point out where the notes are. Tell me what the notes are when he's pointing this. When I nod my head, you go to the next note." And I don't know, I kind of remember when he taught me the blues, and it just made sense to me. I was like, after one chorus, he didn't have to nod his head anymore. I just knew when to change notes. And it's probably because all the listening I did, it just sounded like music to me. So
exactly. You felt right. You had an itch. You had to move.
I had the itch, yeah. And, you know, so when I was about 14 or 15, I started playing gigs with people that were older than me. You know, rock gigs. I grew up outside of Youngstown, Ohio. So it was a big blues town and rock town. And there was jazz. I hadn't found it yet, though. So after doing that a while, and I got to be 16, at that point I knew, I mean, my whole life I dreamt about playing in a band. I remember 5th grade, like, dreaming of being on a stage and, you know, not being a rock star, but playing music that people liked. That's what it was for me. I didn't want to be, ooh, famous. I just, like, what always excited me was the thought, I was on stage playing, and there were people that liked hearing what we were playing. That kind of relationship. And so I think I always knew that's what I was going to do. And, you know, when I got to be 18, my band director at the time, Dave D'Angelo, who only taught school for 1 year, luckily was professional. He had worked with Buddy Rich for years, and just happened to be my long story, my hometown, my senior year. And so luckily he was there at that moment when I was getting ready to graduate. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew I was going to play. He said, "Man, if you want a career in music, you got to learn how to play upright bass. You got to play jazz. You got to be able to do everything if you want to work." I was like, "Oh, okay. What do I do?" He goes, "Go study with Tony Leonardi over at Youngstown State." And that became my second father, who put the upright bass in my hands and made me cry at lessons and stuff like that. You know, really, because I was starting way late. And he's like, "Okay, here you go. You know, you don't have a lot of talent. You got to work for everything." That was it, you know. Lots of practice later, you know.
So the bass itself was, I mean, the electric bass was comfortable.
Yeah.
The acoustic bass took, how long did it take to get as comfortable as the other?
I think after about 3 years, I was able to start playing gigs, professional gigs, at a level that would be considered good, I think. Yeah, it was, and I also kind of learned how to work at something. I mean, it's, you know, not everybody's born with the idea that, oh, you need to work really hard at this if you want to get where you want. And it kind of took somebody that wasn't afraid to yell at me to say, "Wait a minute, I saw you leaving school at 6 o'clock. How come you didn't stay here and practice for 4 more hours?" I said, "Well, I practiced for 2 hours. Well, why not 4 more? well, I guess I don't have a good reason for that. And then he would say, okay, well, I guess you need to change your major because you're not working at this hard enough. No, I don't want to change my major. I want to play, okay. And so I'd, you know, quit my job at the grocery store, which is another talk from him. It's like, well, do you want to bag groceries the rest of your life or you want to play bass? So lived at home and then would stay at school till 11 o'clock at night practicing every night.
Was it another giant hurdle being a stranger in New York and getting yourself heard?
Well, I think everybody knows one person in New York. And so you kind of, I moved to New York. I was on the road with somebody who lived in New York before. So we moved back. He moved back and I moved with him. And so he introduced me to some people and then I knew a couple people there. And you spend about 6 months completely freaking out because, oh, nobody knows me. Nobody knows me. No, what am I going to do? It's a big city. And then, but then you look at your daybook and you're like, wow, I'm kind of working 7 nights a week now. Okay, I guess I could relax. Not big gigs, but, you know, it's you just decide you're going to make your life there and you stick with it. And after about 10 years, you're completely established.
Let's continue this story. But first, I'd like to take a break for some music. And talking to Phil, let's listen to one that you wrote. It happens to be the title track, Staring Into the Sun. Give me any notes you might have on this tune.
I'm always attracted to music that has like a shimmery aspect to it. You know, that kind of has this docile high-end thing, but might be tumultuous underneath. So that was the vibe with this. I was just trying to write something that, as if you're staring into the sun on a hot summer day.
Tri-Fi is live in the Dalton Center Recital Hall tonight at 7:30 on Western's campus. Right now you can find the album and the music at tri-fi.com. Staring Into the Sun, here's the title track.